Okay. We're going to go back online. Good morning, everyone. Kuf Yud Tesa is our daf for today, and we're back on Kuf Yud Chesi. Yesterday we had the pleasure of starting the ninth perek of Chulin. If you want to know what you missed, even if you were here, if you still want to know what you missed, it's very simple. In other words, the conclusions of the Gemara are really so simple. It's just the road to get there was a little bumpy. And it's going to be a little bit bumpy. I feel like the pilot right now in the airplane. It's going to be a little bit bumpy. I know where we're going. It's just, you know, it'll take a little bit to get there. But the conclusion is basically this, and really this is what you need to know. There are two accessories to Tumah. One is called the Shomer, and the other one's called a Yad. And it basically, the rules are so simple. When it comes to a Shomer is anything that is protective to the food itself. So the orange peel, right, is protective to the orange. Without the orange peel, the orange is, you know, it's a lost cause. So you need the orange peel. So when it comes to the rules of Shomer, so number one, it's machzis amotzi. It imports tuma, it exports tuma. Now when we talk about food, remember, whenever it comes to the size of food, how much food do you need? You need the shear of a kibetza, the volume of an egg. Okay? So we're talking now about a simple orange, and we're talking about transmission of tuma to an orange, to the orange, and then from the orange to any other food, assuming that it touches any other food. So that shomer acts as both a machnes amotzi. It both allows tumah to import, even though the tumah didn't touch the actual orange itself. It only touched the peel around the orange, but still the peel is considered part of the orange. It's a shomer. And the same thing is true with exportation of tumah. Same story. If the orange is now tame and it touches another food, it's going to be mitame another food. Just to be technical, what can it be mitame? So the answer is really limited in terms of what an orange can be mitame. It can't be mitame a person. A person cannot become tame from food. Midrabanan, I'll qualify that statement because, you know, in the world of tuma, everything gets qualified. Midrabanan, there are circumstances where a person can become tame from eating tame food, but just right now, let's just stick with the baseline halacha. A person's not going to become tame by touching an orange. So what can an orange be mitame? And the answer is not other chulin, because chulin can only become a sheni. The orange... Can the orange be a rishon? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, in other words, if it was directly touched by a sheretz, yeah. If the orange was directly touched by a sheretz, then the orange is a rishon. And then the orange can be mitame other foods. I take it back. It can be mitame chulin. But more probably, more usual, is that the orange is going to be a sheni, and that's going to be it. It can't be mitame other chulin. It can be mitame truma, and it certainly can be mitame kodesh.
That because not true.
No. In other words, tuma sometimes
you don't need the water at all.
Sometimes tuma requires machshava in terms of manufacturing something, in terms of deciding when we get to the end of the process.
I'm sorry.
I thought you said machshava. In terms of machshir, yes, the orange needs a hechshir. In other words, that orange is not going. Nothing's going to happen on the orange until it gets wet. Okay. And as we'll learn today, until it gets detached from the ground, and then it gets wet. Not while it's connected to the ground. I mean, you know, tuma, even though it's a reality, but we only know about the reality because we observed it. In other words, if it touched tuma, we didn't know about it. Yeah, it's like the tree falling in the forest. I mean, I don't know. I guess the answer is, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's kind of an abstract question, but it definitely has an answer to it. I'm not sure. Okay. That is the shomer. One other point by shomer, right? Let's not fail to mention is that a shomer also has another unique quality, and that it's mitzdarif, meaning that in order for a food to receive tuma and to export tuma, so the food needs to be the size of a kibetza. What if the food is less than the size of a kibetza, but the shomer around it adds to the size of a kibetza? So we had some fun at the end of Sukkot. We cut open some esrogim. Okay, yeah. So. I had a couple left over, plus somebody gifted to me this large esrog, and so we had fun with esrog and we cut them up, and just to see the differences between an esrog and a lemon. So what you'll note by the esrog is that the rind, it's huge, meaning that in a lemon, when you cut a lemon, so the rind is, you know, a thin rind. But when it comes to the esrog, it's mostly rind and very little pulp. Okay, all my picture books told me, you know, I don't want to mention how picture books lie, but all my picture books told me, and we relied on it so much for the third parak of Chulin, that the seeds are going to be standing vertical in the esrog. And yeah, I'm not happy to report that every esrog I cut open, the seeds were horizontal and not vertical.
But it says that those are puzzles.
I know that. I'm gonna do more research in it. In other words, we cut open a couple. It does seem that it's okay for the seeds to be vertical and horizontal. But wow. I'll do more research in it. Look, the rinds, you know, were a dead giveaway that it was an esrog. But I'm being honest. So anyway, so we cut open the esrog, and you'll see that there's a huge amount of rind, white stuff, before you get to the actual pulp. So what if the shomer, in other words, what if the whole thing is not a kibetza, but when you add the shomer to it, like the esrog, like the palmelo, right?
It's actually edible.
What's that? The white stuff, the rind?
Yeah.
How do you prepare it?
You have to grind it up.
Yeah, jam, right?
Yeah, it's a very good one.
Okay. All right, so maybe.
Yeah,
so do I call it ochel? Do I call it shomer? Point still is that if I take the whole volume of everything, including the shomer, and the whole volume, the entire volume is a kibetz, that you have a shear, meaning that the shomer can add to the shear and supplement to get to the shear of a kibetz. Okay? And that's step number one, that's shomer. Okay. And the other thing we learned about yesterday is that of a yad. Now, a yad is a handle, meaning, when I pick up a piece of meat, sometimes I don't want to handle the meat. Sometimes I want to hold it by a bone. Sometimes I want to hold it by a piece of hide. So in other words, I just simply want to handle the meat, but not the meat itself. Something to help me facilitate holding it. That's called a yad. A yad in English, just like the word indicates. It's a hand or a handle. Okay? And when the world of yad, what can a yad do? One of two things. Machnis umotzi. It can import tumah into it, and then it can export tumah out of it. Okay, that's what a yad can do. But a yad cannot be mitzarev. So in other words, a yad is a conduit. It's a conduit of tumah, but it does nothing more than just conduct tumah both internally and externally. Okay? And it cannot be mitzarev. It can add to the shear because it's not a protective layer. It's not part of the food itself. It's just a way to handle the food. That's the easy part of yesterday's daf, and that's pretty much the entire daf of yesterday. Meaning, when all said and done, the points to take home were those points that we just went over. The difficulty was learning these halachas. Where do these halachas come from? So that got a little bit tricky, and the Gemara noted that in the world of Yad, there actually are three psukim, Parshat Tzav, Perikid Aleph, psukim, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, back to back to back. Okay, sound like John Sterling. The Lamed Vav Ach Mayanu Vor Mikva Mayim Torah Venogim Benivlasam Yitma. Right, that's that pasuk is talking about Nevela. Lamed Zayin V'chi Yipol Menivlasam Akol Zera Zaru Asher Yizare Tahorhu. That's talking about seeds. And then pasuk Lamed Ches V'chi Yutan Mayim Al Zera V'nafal Menivlasam Alav Tamehu Lachem. I'm sorry, that's talking about Nevela. No, I'm sorry. Back to Lamed Hay. Sorry. V'chol asher yipol minivlasam alav yitma tanur v'kiram yitatz t'meim him t'meim yulachem. Okay? Sorry. That's back to Lamed Hay. So there are three psukim that mention, and not explicitly, by the way, nowhere in the Torah is any of this mentioned explicitly. It's alluded to. The Gemara learns it from the words lachem. Lachem means shebitzar chechem, anything that helps you handle the food. So we have a pasuk by an oven, we have a pasuk by seeds, and we have a pasuk by nevela. And the Gemara basically went through a lengthy discussion of how we're going to utilize all three psukim to arrive at these conclusions. That by shomer it's machnis, motzi, and mitzaref, and by yad it's only machnis and motzi. Okay. I'm not going to go through the entire Gemara again, although on your own I encourage it, both for you and me, to just go over the Gemara again and get more comfortable with the process in terms of how we got there. We're on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're continuing the Gemara, and we're going to start right in the middle of the Amud. Okay. We're about 10 lines from the top of the page. We're starting with the words Rav Chaviva. Right? Should have read this yesterday. Maybe I did. Either way, I think this is where we got up to. Rav Chaviva Amar Shani Sharma De Nevela came into Ma'ise Yad Ka'avid Ayad Shadinan La, the Rav Chaviva. This is really the end to yesterday's discussion. he says that when it comes to the Shomer of Nevela, so it acts as a yad, so therefore we're going to assume that the pasuk regarding the Nevela is a reference to a yad, not to a Shomer. Okay, Maskevla Rav Yehuda Bar Yishma Hadnan. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we have a Mishnah. I told you, a lot of the Mishnahs that we're going to be learning are Mishnahs of Uksin. Uksin is a series of Mishnahs in the Seder Taharos, which we don't learn in the Daf Yomi, because we don't learn Taharos in the Daf Yomi, except for the Masechta of Nida, simply because there's no Gemara, and the schedule of Daf Yomi only follows Masechtas that have Gemara. Okay, and the Mishnah in Uksin, this is the second parak of Uksin, HaPitma Shel Rimon, the Pitom of the Rimon. Probably talking about the same Pitom that we're used to talking about in terms of an Esrog, meaning the thing on the top. I'm sure it's got a fancier name than thing. I'm sure of it. But right now, for our purposes, that's all we need really to identify, the thing on the top. So HaPitma Shel Rimon Mitztarefes. So it's Mitztaref, it combines. So in other words, how is the Mishnah and Uksin treating it? Like a Shomer. Right, because I only use terminology of combination when we're discussing a shomer. The hanetz shelo ein mitzaref, but the thing on top of the thing. Okay, you like this very scientific terminology. The thing on top of the thing, if you will, I'll read Rashi. Maybe that'll help us all. Doubtful. Right, Rashi, who shomer al piva hanetz shomer acher agabe hapitma. Kamoshiesh al egozim shomer al gabi shomer.
On the egozim, there's the hard shell, and then there's a soft shell around the hard shell.
Yeah, but right now we're talking about the pomegranate. Look, you know that little crown on the top of the pomegranate, mm-hmm. Right? I'm not doing a good job describing it. It'd be better if I came in with a pomegranate. Anyway, there's like a little crown on the very top of the pomegranate. That, the Mishnah says in Uksin, is still considered a shomer. It's protective to the pomegranate, and therefore it's mitzaref. It combines to the shear. The thing on top of it, I'm not sure, like the little hairs on top, I'm not even 100% sure what we're discussing, but the thing on top of this pitum. So it's not mitzaref. So it's nothing. It's not a yad. It's not a could be a yad. We'll talk about in tomorrow's daf. We'll talk about maybe hairs being a yad. Okay, that'll be tomorrow's daf. So the Gemara says, "Va'amai kari kana kol zera zarua v'leka." So the Gemara says, it's a general question, really. It's not a seed. Meaning, you go through the psukim that we went through yesterday. There's a pasuk about an oven. There's a pasuk about a nevela. There's a pasuk about a seed. That's it. There's no pasuk about a pomegranate. V'su hadanan. And then the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? So, and the fact of the matter is that we're talking about meat, right? Not nevela meat, regular meat that was shechted, and the hide serves as a shomer. And the Gemara asks, again, simple question. It's not a seed, it's not an oven, and it's not nevela. So where did that come from? So the Gemara answers very simply, Ala Talata Kraiksiva, Al Kol Zera, Zarua, Asher Yizareya. You look at the Pasuk, we're back in Yud Aleph, we're back in Pasuk Lamed Zion. And the Torah says, V'chi Pol Menivla Sam, if a sheretz falls on, a Zera, Zerua, Asher Yizareya, a seed which is seed which is seeded. Even as I say in English, you hear the repetition. So the, no, these are edible seeds that I took out of the ground. Edibles, but they're edible seeds though. So the Gemara says, Chad l'shamer d'zraim, v'chad l'shamer d'ilanos, idach l'shamer basar v'beitzim medagim. So the Gemara says, so what are we going to do? What we're going to do is we're going to take all three of those references, and they're all repetitive. Not all. One is not. The other two are repetitive, and one is going to be talking about zraim, I'm sorry, chad l'shamer d'ilanos, chad l'shamer d'zraim, coverings of a seed, like your walnut cases and your right, any seed that's edible that has a shell around it. Chad l'shomer de'ilanos, I guess we'll call that peels of oranges, and idach l'shomer basar v'beitzim v'dagim. And then you have all your shahakol categories, right? Meat, eggs, and fish. Okay, happens to be the bracha of them or shahakol, meaning anything that's not grown out of the ground, but anything which is edible in the food. A shomer around it is going to be mitzaref. The shell of an egg, the shell of meat, meaning it's hide, The shell of fish, I guess we're talking about its skin. Okay. Or the scales, maybe, right? Scales, maybe a shomer on top of a shomer. Maybe. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav. Okay, here we go. New discussion. Not new, but next discussion in the ninth parak of Chulin. Okay, so we have so far been introduced to the ideas of shomer and yad. Okay? Gemara now wants to know like this. In order for any food, Hedy just pointed this out a couple of minutes ago. In order for any food to become tameh, the food first needs hechsher. It needs to come into contact with a liquid. Right? And so that means simply that if I have a seed and it never came into contact with a liquid, you could touch tumah to it all day. The seed is not tameh. Okay? And the reason why is because it's not mukhshal kabal tumah. It requires hechsher, it requires this preparation. Okay, and there's laws about hechsher, about machshava and intent. Good.
Even if a sheretz, we saw
a sheretz
walk on the seed.
Right. Well, live sheretzim don't give off tumah. So the halacha of sheretz is only after it's dead. Okay. Good. Kumar's question over here now is very simple. Not a question, but really discussion, debate. It's very simple and pretty straightforward. Is there a concept of yad? And I guess by extension, shomer, although the Gemara doesn't talk about shomer, is there a concept of yad when it comes to hechsher? Meaning, yad serves as a conduit, right? So if I have food, and it's attached to a bone, so that bone is going to import tumah and export tumah. Can it import and export hechsher? Okay, funny question. Meaning, if water fell on, not the food, but just on the yad, huh? Right. In other words, instead of the water falling on the actual grape itself, it fell on the vine that holds the cluster together. Okay? Is there going to be a concept of yad regarding hechsher? Now, when you think about that question, you realize that's a funny question. Meaning, because isn't the whole idea behind hechsher that you need to, in other words, the food's not ready yet, and it needs to get ready. How do you get it ready? You clean it. How do you clean it? You put water on it. So in other words, just from a logic standpoint, from a sfar standpoint, it is a little bit strange that we're honestly considering that just like the yad, the handle, is a conduit for tumah, it's also going to be a conduit for hechsher as well. Well, we're not talking about shomer. We're talking this is going to be more focused on yad. But okay, so watch. So I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, I'm Rav Yad Yesh Yad L'Tumah. So Rav's position is no. Meaning, of course there's a yad for tumah. We have psukim, we have drashas, nothing to talk about. There is a yad when it comes to tumah, but there's no yad when it comes to hechsher. Hechsher requires the liquid to go on the food itself, and there's no conduit for hechsher. Rav Yochanan amar yesh al tumah ula hechsher. And Rav Yochanan says, no. There's a conduit for tumah. There's a conduit for hechsher as well. So the Ma'akim, if the Gemara says, can we have a better understanding of what this analysis is? What's going on? So Ibai same as far, Ibai same akra. So the Gemara says, absolutely. I could say this in one of two ways. We could say that they're debating how to darshan, or this can even be an issue in logic as well. Ibai same akra, mar savar mikra nidrash lefanav v'lo lifnei panav mar savar mikra nidrash lefanav. Ulif ne panav. We've seen this already a number of times in Shas. The idea basically goes like this. Where do we generate the halachas of Yad from? Okay, right here. Vayikra, Perikid Aleph. This is where we generate the halachas of Yad. Where do we generate the halachas of Machshir? Same place. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. We go back a little bit in the Pesukim. Okay? The first thing you need is you need liquid to come on. That takes us all the way back to Lamed Dalet. Then Lamed Hey, we start now with the facilitators, the yados. Okay, that's one yad. Ach there's your next yad, talking about seeds. There's another yad. So in other words, all the yados are mentioned in Psukim. Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. So the one way to darshan is that Do we take these ideas of Yados and throw it back? Throw it back all the way back to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Okay? Can we do that? Do we have the right to do that? That's a question of Drasha. Okay? And the Gemara says that's one way to explain this Machlokas. And that would mean that Rav doesn't go back, meaning Rav only localizes the Halacha of Yad to the food itself, or the oven itself, or the Nevela itself, but doesn't go back to Hechsher, which is a couple of Pesukim earlier. And Rav Yochanan will say no. Take the whole Parsha and take the halachas of Yados and apply it to both here and to the beginning of the Parsha as well. Ibai Sema, Svara. Or the Gemara says, if you would like, this could be an argument in logic. Marsavar Hechsher Tchilas Tomahi. Marsavar Hechsher Lav Tchilas Tomahi. Because what Rav Yochanan will tell you, the Gemara first explains Rav Yochanan's position. What Rav Yochanan will say is like this. Hechsher is really the beginning of Tumah. That's what it is. Meaning when the liquid falls on a food, we don't just simply say, now it's ready to receive Tumah. It's really the initial stages of Tumah. Okay. So just like in the world of Tumah, there's a Yad, a conduit that allows Tumah to go in and out. So if Hechsher is just a prep stage for Tumah, if it's just the initial stage of Tumah, there should be Yad for Hechsher as well. That's Rav Yochanan. Whereas Rav will say, no, Hechsher is a prerequisite. But it doesn't mean that Hechsher is the first stages. It just happens to be that there's this thing called Hechsher, where if liquid falls on the food, now it's ready to receive Tumah. But that's not the beginning stages of Tumah. That just happens to be a reality that when food gets wet, cleaned, it's now ready. Ready to be eaten, ready to be used, and if it happens, ready to become tamei. But don't call the first steps of tamei. That could be another way to understand the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Okay, Lav tchilas tamei hu detan kavasei de Rav Yochanan. The Gemara says here we have a brisa supporting Rav Yochanan. Kishem sheyesh yad latamei kach yesh yad lehechsher. Brisa says it straight out. The Gemara doesn't say this, but I guess Rav would just simply say, I argue with the Braisa. Maybe Rav has his own Braisa. The Gemara does not suggest that. Ukishem she'ein mekablin toma ela l'cheshiyit l'sho, kach ein mekablin hechsher ela ad sheyit l'sho. Another big rule. That when it comes to tuma, food only becomes tummy after it's separated from the ground. Meaning as long as something is connected to the ground, it's grounded. Right? Kind of like electricity, if you will. Right, now that we have this thing called electricity, like we kind of understand Tumah a little bit better. Not that Tumah and electricity are the same, just in terms of just conceptualization, just to think about how Tumah works. If something is still in the ground, it's grounded, right? It can't become Tumah. Only once it's detached from the ground is it then able to receive Tumah. Same thing is true by Hechsher. When something's in the ground, it's impervious to Hechsher, meaning you could get it wet all you want. But if it's in the ground, it's not mukhshar. Hechsher only begins after it's detached from the ground. Okay, that's the Braisa. It's clear from the Braisa, like Rav Yochanan, that Hechsher is basically stage one of Tumah. And so therefore, there is just like there's a conduit by Tumah, there's also going to be a Yad, a conduit by Hechsher as well. And that's the Rambam's position, that there is a Yad for Hechsher.
Yeah, actually, if somebody comes with the liquid and then dries up, not
ready for action. No, it's...
The water has to be present at the time of fetching?
No. Meaning once it gets wet, and you wanted it, and you dried it, it's now mukhshar. Oh. It's in other words, it's just a prep stage. Okay, Amar Rav. Next. Next big good debate, and this will take us through a good part of today's daf.
What you said about Yad is true for Shomer also in terms of action?
I don't know. In other words, the Gemara really limits this whole discussion about it regarding Yad. I assume it's true by Shomer. Meaning, look, Yad is a bigger chiddush because Yad is not part of the food.
Right.
It just is a way. It's just a conduit, the conductor. Shomer is really part of the food. I mean, the peel of the orange is considered part of the food. It gets me to that size of a kibbutz. So, if there's hechsher on a handle. I would say that logically there for sure would be a hechsher on the shomer as well. Okay, Amar Rav, ein yad lepachos mikazayas ve'ein shomer lepachos mikapul. Now, we talk about yados, handles, and we talk about shomer protective layers. Rav says that in order for a yad to work, you need a minimum amount of food, and that is a kazayas. In order for a shomer to work, you need a minimum amount of food, actual food, and that is the size of a bean, kipul, the size of a bean. Okay, now before we go any further in the Gemara, you understand that all of our heads should be spinning right now. Meaning, even if you're not confused, I'm telling you to be confused. Okay, these are my instructions for the next couple of minutes. Be confused. Why? It's very simple. Because I've been telling you from the very beginning of this discussion, food does not become tameh until you have the size of a kibbutzah. And what the Gemara now is discussing and debating, Rav's position, let's not go any further, just stay with Rav. Rav says that a yad doesn't work for anything smaller than a kazayas. Kazayas is half of an egg volume. Okay? And so, if you think about this, you wonder to yourself, what's going on over here? What's he talking about? Meaning, in order for food to either receive tuma or export tuma to something else, the food needs to be the size of a kibbutz. And Rav is telling us, oh, but yad doesn't work unless the food is the size of a kazayas, because that's half the size of a kibbutz. What tuma are we talking about over here? How is it going to receive tuma if it's not the size of a kibbutz? Rashi is sensitive to this. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is downstairs. Ein ya lapachos mikazayas. Im yesh ochel. See where I am? So before the lines get really wide, the lines are somewhat wide. It is Rashi. The Dibra Maskel is about from the bottom. It's about 10 lines from the bottom. If I have a food that's less than a kazayas, La Rashi says, for example, it's the size of a bean. Bean is significantly smaller than a kazayas. Or a half a kazayas. Okay? Chatzizayas basar, velo yad, vahare hein hem ochlin, vahare hein im ochlin kebetza. Vinagatuma biyad. Okay. Now Rashi over here says, here's the story. Story is that it's a small amount of food. It's a half a kazayas of meat. It's a bean, whatever. It's a small food, and it's attached by a handle. But this food is with other foods, so that the total, the sum total of all foods that are together, are the size of a beitza. Hov ikaro eino kazayas biyachan, ein chashev liyosya lo yad. But if the handle is attached to the food that is less than the size of a kazayas, that's not significant enough. It's not enough to conduct the tuma. Conduction of tuma can only be when what you have at the end of this bone is at least a kazayas of meat. Va'akol tahor.
Does that take away from the grape stem?
Aval yesham alapachos mikazayas. Right, the grape stem would be an excellent example. Right, the shish kebab skewer would be another excellent example, where each food by itself is less than the size of a kazayas. Okay, now you can get even more detailed in this discussion. I think we're going to stop over here in terms of just how far we're going to go. But if you take a look at Tosfos over here says, I don't understand, if the foods are together but they're not connected to one another, so then it really shouldn't matter. Because food tuma transmission is only when the foods are actually one conglomerate. Right, one mass. So the fact that foods are next to one another, that's insufficient. So take a look at Tosfos and Yad Lapachos Mikazayas, where he quotes Rashi, and he goes on to further discuss how exactly are we describing the scenario where the foods are together, they're connected, they're not connected. What? Where are they exactly? But we're stopping here in terms of our understanding of Rav's position. Rav Yochanan says no. Yesh yad lapachos mikazayas, v'yesh sham lapachos mikapul. So Rav Yochanan says that no, in the world of yad, a yad will be a conductor even if the food amount at the end of this yad is less than a kazayas. And shomer will be considered a shomer even if that which it's covering is less than the size of a bean. Okay? So we have a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And basically, if we can, the question basically distills to the following. We have this idea of yad. We have this idea of shomer. Does there need to be a significant amount of food in order for the yad to be called a yad? and the shomer to be called a shomer or no. Any amount of food will render the yad to be a yad. Any amount of food will render a shomer to be a shomer. Now, to be fair and to be completely honest in terms of explaining all of this, even when Rav Yochanan says that there is a that you can have a yad for less than a kezias, there by the yad, even Rav Yochanan has a lower limit. Rashi tells us that for Rav Yochanan, the lower limit for a yad is going to be the size of a bean.
So he would say that a cluster of grapes will act like it will receive tumah
right
through the yad.
Correct.
And
Rav presumably would not. Again, assuming that you view each grape as its own independent entity.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay? Meitzvei. So the Gemara says, okay, let's test all this. Let's test all this out based on a Mishnah. Okay, bizarre Mishnah. Stay with me on this Mishnah. Okay, here. Okay. Okay. It's such an interesting Mishnah. It's not a Mishnah, by the way. It's a Tosefta and Olos. Okay, imagine if you will. Okay, I have two markets in front of me. I know one's blue and one's black, but ignore that. The color here doesn't matter. And if you will, the cap is going to be human remain. It's going to be flesh. Okay? And this cap over here, same story. It's going to be human remain. And you'll never look at these markers the same way again. And the rest of it is going to be considered bone. Okay, so this is bone and this is bone. Okay, now bone is a conductor. Now, all right, let's just leave it like this right now. Okay? And, if you can, my Gemara will be a house. Okay, now, if I have these two. Now, bone by itself, by the way, let's just make sure that we got the rules down. Bones don't give off tumas ohel.
So dry bone, right?
Right, the bone itself doesn't give off tumas ohel. The flesh does. Good. Okay, a bone only gives off tuma bemaga. Only if you touch it. Masa? By bones? Yes? I should know that. Okay. I'm sorry. All right, anyway, the bones don't give off tumas ohel. Okay? Then we have kezias of meat on the end of the bone. So now the bone serves as a yad, serves as a handle. Okay. Now what I'm going to do, okay, and my Gemara over here is a house, okay, with a roof over the top. Okay, you don't see it, I know, but it's there. Now here's what I'm going to do. Watch carefully. I'm just going to take the bones. So now that the flesh is outside the house, but the bones are inside. Okay? And basically now this Tosefta and Olos is going to be describing the following scenario. Are these going to be conductors of Tumah? Meaning, the bones are now inside. The actual flesh is outside. Are these bones going to bring the Tumah inside? So now that everything under the roof of this house is Tameh. My recorder is now Tameh. Okay. Can it do that? Now, let's ratchet it up a little bit because so far everything I told you was nice and simple and straightforward. Let's say we have just one more point to consider. Let's say that each bone is only the holder of a half a kezias of flesh. So that this is holding a half a kezias and this is holding a half a kezias. I'll even put them side by side. Okay? And so can these bones now conduct, each one conducting a half a kezias? Meaning, the Tosefta is clearly of the position that if it was one bone, and at the end of this one bone was a full kezias, it's a no-brainer. It's a total no-brainer. It would conduct the tumah inside the house, and now the entire house is now tumah. Tumas ohel. That's a no-brainer. Here's where it requires thinking, and will be subject to a debate. There are two bones. Each bone has a half a kezias at each end. Can those bones now conduct the tumah inside the house? Let's say they're not. Just to make it simple. You need a shear. You need a requisite amount, and that requisite amount is a kezias. Okay? So, this is a Tosefta. Let's read it inside. Beis atzamos. You have two bones, valein, beis chatzais eis. I mean, each bone is holding a half a kezias. V'hichnis rosheihem beis labayis. V'habayis ma'ahil aleihem. So you put it into the house and, right, rosheihem, it tips in, right, like the way I have described over here, So, right, according to the corrections of the Girsos, it's Roshnei Hashniim, right, the other heads, meaning the ones without the meat. Basically what I described over here. And in my Gemara, I made a nice picture, which only after I went over the Gemara do I look at my picture and say, oh yeah, that's what it is. So, Beis HaBeis, the Habayis Ma'il Aleihem, Habayis Tamei. According to the Tanakama, the house is now Tamei. Okay. We could stop right here, by the way. We're not going to, but we could stop right here. You already see what the problem is. What did Rav say? Rav says that a yad is only a yad, only if that which it's connected to on the end is a kezias or greater. According to Rav, how did this serve as a yad? All I had at the end of it was a half a kezias. I mean, that's the question. And it's a good one. We go on. Yehuda ben Nekusia Omer Mishum Rabbi Yaakov Hech Shnei Atzamos Mitzaref and Lechazayas. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Nekusia says, well, no, you can't do that. They can't combine. They can't be Mitzaref. Okay, period. So, V'rav Hai B'may Mukimlei. We're now on the top of Kufi Yates Amad Aleph and analysis of the Brisa or this Tosefta in light of the position of Rav. And by the way, Rav Yochanan's not off the hook. We'll get back to Rav Yochanan in just a moment. But right now, let's focus on Rav. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav, what are you doing? How are you going to handle this over here? Because you say that you don't have a yad unless there's a kezias of food. Now, I know this is not food. I know we're talking about human flesh. But it's the same basic idea. Meaning a yad is a handle and it conducts tumah. So, and you maintain that there's no conduction of tumah unless there's a kezias at the end. Now, according to you, Rav, how did this work? Because the Tana Kama says that there will be conduction even though each bone only contains a half a kezias. That's a problem. Now, ibi yad kashya resha. Now, ibi shomer kashya seifa. Now, the Gemara is now going to do the following. The way I describe the case is that it was a bone. It was a bone of human remains. And with a little bit of actual human remains at the end of the bone, right? I know this is all unseemly, but again, our purpose is just to understand the halacha. And the way we were looking at these bones is as a yad. The Gemara anticipates, there's another way to view this case, this Tosefta, and that's the following. Maybe the meat wasn't around the outside of the bone. Maybe the meat was inside the bone, otherwise known as marrow. Okay? Marrow is human remains. It's flesh. Okay? In other words, in animals, we eat it. Okay? So it's considered not bone, it's considered mace. And maybe by the case of the bone, maybe what we're describing is not where it is a piece of meat wrapped around the outside of the bone, but it's actually marrow inside the bone. Now think about this. If it's marrow inside the bone, are we talking about a yad? No, we're talking about a shomer. Now, Rav said that for a shomer, our limits go down. Meaning that you can have a shomer for something less than a kezias. You can have a shomer for the size of a bean.
The total?
Huh?
The total with the shomer, less than kezias?
You need... No. The roof is a separate entity. The roof is just what's creating the tumah, so to say. I mean, that's not creating the tumah. It's not the right word.
Spreading
the tumah. But the tumah is actually coming from the flesh itself. Huh?
Rav counts the shomer as part of the kezai.
Shrav says that when it comes to a shomer, you only need a pool, a bean of actual tumah, in order for it to conduct. So here, you have it. Meaning, we're going to assume that the marrow is the size greater than a bean. It's a half a kezias. A half a kezias, we're going to assume, is greater than the size of a bean. So the Gemara says, Ibishomer kashya seifa. So then, if we are talking about a shomer, okay, that's a great way for Rav to navigate around the Tana Kama. It's fantastic. Here's a problem. You go to the next part of the Brisa. Next part of the Tosefta, and then you say Yehuda ben Nekusya Omer Bishum Rabbi Yaakov Hechnei Atzamos Mitzarif Lechazayis. Now you can't be Mitzarif. Why not? We're talking about a Shomer now, and a Shomer will conduct even if it's less than a Kezayis. So Ibayisema Bishomer Ibayisema Biyad. The Gemara gives very, I'll say, simple answers. It's not really simple, but just clear-cut ways to explain the Brice according to Rav. Okay, answer number one. Rav doesn't agree with the Tanakhama. Rav has to maintain his position like Rav Yehuda ben Akusya, which is, doesn't conduct, because it's less than a kezias, because it's a yad. Or, it could be that Rav maintains that we're talking about a shomer over here, and his position only subscribes to the Tanakhama, not like Yehuda ben Akusya. Plain and simple. The Gemara says, okay, now that we dealt with Rav, now let's turn our attention to Rav Yochanan. See, for Rav Yochanan, it's a little bit better, but not much better. What did Rav Yochanan say? That there's a yad even for less than a kezias. There's a shomer for even less than a bean. Okay? So according to Rav Yochanan, if it's a yad, it should conduct. Yeah. So Rav Yochanan, Amar Kulo Biyad, Vuhuda Amar Kitana Kama. So the Gemara says, look, for Rav Yochanan, I'll explain it. It goes like this. The whole Bryce is talking about a yad, meaning that it's not talking about marrow. It's talking about flesh around the bone. The bone is a yad. It's a conductor. It's not a shomer. It's not a protective layer. And what we're also going to say is that he holds like the Tana Kama. Right. Tanakhama allows for conduction even though it's less than a kezias, as Rav Yochanan allows for conduction even though it's less than a kezias. Okay, period. End of that discussion. I will point out one thing that Rashi points out, and then we'll move on. The Gemara dealt with this case, this funny Tosefta, in one of two ways. Either the Tosefta is talking about where there was flesh around the top of the bone, and that bone was serving as a yad, or what was the other alternative? That there was marrow inside the bone and the bone was serving as a shomer. Rashi says, here's something to think about and to consider. Okay? Let's imagine, again, I'm going to use my marker as a little model over here. Let's imagine that the marrow is at this end of the bone. Okay? And this end of the bone is hollow. So Rashi says, I really don't understand. What's the whole idea behind shomer? Shomer means it's a protective layer. So of this bone over here, which part of the bone is a shomer? This part that actually is wrapped around the marrow, or this part? So if you think about it, Rashi says, it really makes more sense that this part is the shomer. And this part would be?
Yad.
Or yad or shomer v'shomer. So in other words, in the Gemara's entertaining of this Tosefta, and the Gemara says that we're talking about marrow inside the bone, I'm not following the Gemara's discussion, because if this is in fact a shomer, I can understand how this part is a shomer. I don't understand how this part, which is hollow, how are we calling this part a shomer? Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi inside. I'm in Rashi. Second short line of the Rashi. The Alpha P. She'ein ha-moach be-beis shomer machnis u-motzi tumo u-mivir le-bais. The Im Tomer. Etzem hazeh ha-nichnas le-bais ein ha-shomer le-moach sherei ein ha-moach kenegdo. Rashi says, I don't understand. There is no marrow on this end of the bone. Ela berosho ha-acher. It's only on this end of the bone. In fact, Rashi really strengthens the question. A shomer is only that which is actually touching the food. In this case, I know we're not talking about food, we're talking about human remains, but still the point is the same. The shomer is the part that should only be actually touching. This hollow part of the bone really shouldn't serve as a shomer. Rashi says, Al karchach shomer hu. What you're going to have to say in this case is that even the hollow end is a shomer. Why? She calls mancha kulistuma ochel shebetocha nishmar. Niftecha ein ma shebetocha nishmar. Because when we're talking about marrow inside a bone, if there is any exposure of air, you're going to lose the marrow. Meaning the marrow is going to get compromised. So even if the hollow end were to be opened up, so that would allow air to enter in, and now you would lose a marrow. So we're going to view the entire bone, even the hollow part, as the shomer to the marrow that's inside, even though the marrow is currently external. Okay? That's Rashi's explanation of how we're going to look at the entire bone as a shomer, even though only one end has marrow. All right, let's go.
You accept that this, the accumulate, I mean, the add up to, together to make a zayit?
Yeah, and if we're talking about shomer, it's interesting. I mean, the Gemara doesn't talk about this, no, but that's a very good point. Meaning, if we're talking about this in the context of shomer, then what we can do is we can also add the bone to the shear.
No, but if you have two pieces, each one is kezayit.
Well, what the Gemara now is saying is that if each one only cased a half a kezias,
right.
So according to Rav Yehuda, they're going to combine.
That's why they accepted one?
Is that the accepted position? I assume so. I mean, I assume it is the accepted position. Okay, let's go on. A little bit more for today. Tashma, Rav Yehuda Omer, Kula Sheish Ala Kezias, I'm sorry, Kula Sheish Ala Kezias Basa Gores Kula Latuma, Acher Omim Afilu Ein Ala Ela Kapul, Goreris Kula Latuma. Okay? We're talking about the coolest, we're talking about the thigh bone. Yeah. If it has a kezayis basar, it drags tuma. And according to acherim, right, others, meaning another opinion, is that afil ainala elaka pool, even if only has the size of a pool, goreris kula tuma. Now Varav Hai Bamukimla Ibiyad Kashya Sefa Ibishamar Kashya Resha. And again, the Gemara says, and it's not clear. Are we talking about flesh around the bone? Are we talking about marrow in the bone? If we're talking about flesh around the bone is serving as a yad. If we're talking about marrow in the bone is serving as a shomer. So, ibai zema biyad v'hud amar karev Yehuda. So the Gemara says, look, according to Rav, it's very simple. We could be talking about it's a yad, and he doesn't hold like acherim. He holds like Rav Yehuda. Ibai zema b'shomer ka'acherim. Or we could be talking about a shomer, and Rav is holding like acherim. Rav Yochanan amar kula b'shomer v'hud amar ka'acherim. So, and according to Rav Yochanan says that we could be talking about a shomer, and he follows the position of the acherim, not like Rav Yehuda. So, acherim hu kapul ka'amri. I did the kamer tanakam shiura, kamer achem nami shiura. The Gemara says, well, if we're talking about Rav Yochanan and we're talking about a shomer, for a shomer, Rav Yochanan does not have a lower limit. Rav Yochanan would allow a shomer to be a shomer for any amount of food. Right? In other words, go back to the bottom of the previous summit. Rav Yochanan says, Yeshomer lapachos mi kapul, that there's a shomer for even something less than the size of a bean. And here in this brisa, it sounds like, at least according to Acherim, it has to be the size of a bean. The Gemara says, no. He said a bean, he meant even less than a bean. Amarava dekanami de bishomer askin dektani kul yeshmamina. And Rava says, it's for sure talking about a shomer, because why did this brisa choose a thigh bone? A thigh bone is very thick, and we usually talk about thigh bone because of the marrow that's inside. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Amar Zeshir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Zeshir. The Gemara says, has a debate amongst the Amoraim. When Acherim gave a measurement of a pool, did he mean it or did he not mean it? And Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Zeshir, he didn't mean it. Ein Zeshir, v'haktani kapul, I did the ka'amar tanakama shi'ura, Kamri inu nami shiura. The Gemara says it's only because of a response to the Tanakama. But even though he says the size of a bean, he meant even less than the size of a bean. Okay. Good. Tashma. Okay, so far so good. Where are we at right now? Machlok is between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Can I have a yad serving as a yad if the food is a kezias? If the food is less than a kezias? So Rav says no, and Rav Yochanan says yes. Okay? Tashma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitar b'shal pul u'mitame b'shal kitnis. Mimnei sherotze b'mash mishan. Okay? Another Mishnah, Uksin. Okay? I told you, even though we're not going to be learning the Mishnayos from Masechta Uksin, so this will be our third Mishnah today that we're learning in Uksin. Might as well just finish today. Learning the entire Masechta. You already got three Mishnayos down. I wish I took my own advice. So Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that when it comes to his mitar b'shal pul, when it comes to a bean, he's mitahir. And umitame b'shal kidneys, but when it comes to a kidneys, kidneys is some sort of legume, right? Like what we know on Pesach, kidneys. it's he's metame. What are we talking about over here? Look at the second wide lines of Rashi. Rabbi Lazar ben Azari metayer. V'shamer shall pull the lav shamer who kagon oso hasharvitim shapul and gedalim behem. Rashi says we're talking about like pea pods. Okay, kust belaz. Okay, that's where we need fill for the old French. These peas that we're describing are so big. Okay, the beans really are so huge; they're so big, they don't need a shomer. Okay, not like the orange and the orange peel. Orange needs its orange peel. Here, these particular beans don't need it. Look at the next Rashi. Dishomerhu. Here, when we're talking about these smaller legumes, so it is a shomer. The dakim hain ve'en yichol lanakran v'nichalei shiyu ba'osam sharvitim ve'al yitarei v'em psolas. They need a shomer, so they need this this protective skin around it. So far, so good. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mitav shall pull mitav v'shal kitnis mimei shirotz ben mash misham kedam rav acha b'rei derava. Bikucha umisham yad. Oh, I'm glad you told me that. What time is it?
8:08.
Okay. Okay. We'll start tomorrow from the fifth Mishnah in the first parak of Uksin. Sorry about the loss of time. Okay.